All right, this is Sunday morning, 6:27:21. This is a second part of Learning to Flow in the Spirit, Part 10, Church Order. All right, as the body of Christ, we are to follow the head of the church, Jesus Christ. He is the chief cornerstone. He is a rock of offense, so the scripture says. Okay, Romans 9, rock of offense. It said they all stumbled at the stumbling stone. Those in the past stumbled over that, the change. And there'll be many in this day and time that'll stumble over it too. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles which followed not after righteousness have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith? But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law, for they stumbled at the stumbling stone. As is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone, and a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. See, when you do it right, you're not going to be ashamed. It's like the word Danny had. You're not going to be ashamed, because things will fall into place and suddenly you're victorious where you just struggled so terribly before. You got a whole body, a whole unit working together that's a powerhouse in the earth instead of just a mess over here and a mess over there, not doing much of nothing but having our four walls and our little party every Sunday. We see that the church has not been able to do what we were commissioned to do. In 2004, Oral Roberts had a vision entitled The Wake-Up Call. The nutshell of the vision was that the church had not obeyed him in taking the Great Commission. Well, how can we do what God has told us to do if the church isn't even in order as a whole? I'm sure there are parts of the body of Christ that are here and there doing their part, but it's like a natural body where some parts are working and some aren't. Not good. That's a paraplegic. We're in a wheelchair. It is my petition and proclamation that the body of Christ get in order and as a whole begin to move in the direction God has told us to go. Here are the foundational scriptures that we've been looking at, and I want y'all to, well, just, you know, as I do this, this will get ingrained in us, these scriptures. Then if somebody wants to know about things, well, where do you get based what you're doing on? Well, I got a whole list for you. Matthew 7:24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built a house upon a rock. How can he bless anything if you're not even doing his word? And the rain descended, and the floods came, the winds blew, and beat upon that house, it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these words, sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Yeah. All right, Matthew 16. When Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father who is in heaven. And I say unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock, that revelation that he just got on Jesus, he's the foundation, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So a church in order is going to have the power to bind and loose. Not just a few people here and there, but all. Okay, Ephesians 2. 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according... Chapter 2, 19. Now therefore, you know more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation, the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. It came out yesterday, that big, I've heard several stories about the big condo, big building, skyscraper thing that fell. Someone was saying that they knew years ago it had a foundational problem and had sunk 1 inch. And it caused it to just crumble. The face of that thing just crumbled off. Whether it's true or not, I don't know. Like I said, I've heard different stories. But that's a good analogy here. When the foundation wasn't right, the building fell. Yeah. All right, Ephesians 4. 7. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but he also descended first to the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith, and of the knowledge of the Son of God, and to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro. Sound familiar? Tossed to and fro. I just can't seem to be steady. I'm just on one day off the next, tossed to and fro. No foundation. And carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head of even Christ. For whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working of the measure of the every part, maketh the increase of the body into the edifying of itself in love. Okay. Then one more, Psalms 133. The full anointing can't be on the church until we got it together, man. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garments, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. So when we've got it in right order, the anointing at the top flows all the way down to the bottom. Everybody's blessed, empowered to go and move as a body. All right, the Lord has had me focused on the apostle office because most of all the other four are pretty well understood, but the most important one, first apostles, have not been recognized at all in the church. All right, now turn with me to 2 Corinthians. I don't have a whole lot this morning, so since we've had more this morning than normal. All right. Would to God that you would bear with me a little in my folly. This is chapter 11, sorry. Would to God that you would bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me, for I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus whom ye have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. For I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostles. But though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge, but we have been thoroughly made manifest among you in all things. Have I committed an offense in abasing myself that you might be exalted, because I have preached to you the gospel of God freely? I robbed other churches, taking wages of them to do you service. And when I was present with you and wanted, I was chargeable to no man. For that which was lacking to me, the brethren which came from Macedonia supplied. And in all things I have kept myself from being burdensome unto you, and so will I keep myself. As the truth of Christ is in me, no man shall stop me of this boasting in the regions of Achaia. Wherefore? Because I love you not, God knoweth, but what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Well, one more. I say again, let no man think me a fool. If otherwise, yet as a fool, receive me, that I may boast myself a little. Paul, even in his day, he was having to nearly defend himself everywhere he went. They'd listen to anybody else that said they were a this or a that. But not Paul, probably because he corrected them. I've had the same experience from the very beginning of my ministry. People that cried out to God wanting a restoration of the church were the very ones that lifted up their voice to destroy what God was trying to do. I pray God have mercy on them. Several of them have not had a very way, the way they've left has not been very merciful. It makes me want to cry. And that's not any, because I've never laid my hand against any of them. But you can see how the devil has come against the apostles and the body of Christ to keep them from stepping up. Yeah. Paul was highly scrutinized, and I have brought out before how much Satan attacked him through people. The Song of Solomon says this, take us foxes, the little foxes, to spoil the vine. If you take out the roots, there's nothing left. That's why Satan has targeted the foundation. If he can ruin the foundation, everybody else is just wimps. They're just out there. They're just open for attack. They do nothing. They've turned into country clubs. We're worshiptainment centers. It's sad. Okay, now let's go to Romans 11. Verse 1 there says, I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. For I am also an Israelite, of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Want ye not what the scripture saith of Elias, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets and digged down their own altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. Even the Old Testament. There was no apostles in the Old Testament, but there were prophets, and all of those were killed. But what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Even so then at this present time, also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. Maybe this church is just going to be the remnant. The true church that has apostles and prophets as the foundation, Jesus being the chief cornerstone. A remnant. And if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. Isn't that the way it is today? We can't say much about Israel. Seems like it's the same way in the church. According as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear unto this day. And David saith, let their table be made a snare and a trap and a stumbling block and a recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened that they may not see, and bow down their back always. Isn't this happening in the church? When you got Masonic order taking over the church, reinstating pastors, kicking out the apostles and prophets? I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid, but rather through their fall, salvation has come to the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. For if the fall of them be the riches of the world and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? I heard of one that if I mentioned his name, you'd know it. It's supposedly he's been around a long time, but he's been implicated in human and child trafficking. Big name, big ministry, lots of money. Not anyone I follow or ever have really, I saw his picture. I've never heard anything or read anything that he, but I saw, heard that name thrown out here and there. For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I'm the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. If by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, and might save some of them. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? And if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy. If the root be holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou, being a wild olive tree, wert grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches, but if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. It's not any different than the church. He talks about, you know, you're grafted in, but you could be pulled out too, just like they were. They committed adultery. So have you. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee. Behold therefore the goodness and severity of God on them which fail, severity, but toward thee goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou shalt also be cut off. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. For if thou wert cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? For I would not, brethren, that ye would be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel, until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so all Israel shall be saved, as is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins, as concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes. But as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. For as ye in times past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief. Even so have they also now not believed, that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might show mercy upon all. So, God wants us all coming into, this was supposed to be Jew, Gentile. We're all Israel, rather natural, rather spiritual. Okay. Paul is saying, beware, don't be arrogant. If God can take out the natural branches, he could take out the grafted in branches also. All right. Romans 12. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. If we'd have just done this, if we'd have just done this, we owe each other just to do this. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God had dealt to every man the measure of faith. Being an apostle is not to be prideful or be an exalted place. It's to be in the right place, or wherever God's placed you in the body of Christ. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the portion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhorting, or exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. And it goes on talking about being kind to one another, where we just came from the last teaching. Okay, apostles as well as gifts are selected by God. Will God look favorably on those who reject his gifts? The apostles are the fathers of the faith, and they are needed to keep the church in order, just like a natural father keeps the home in order. Developing a strategy and executing a plan are not what apostles are, is what apostles do best. They are very pragmatic. They do what it takes to accomplish the will of God in a particular job to ensure that the job is done well. The Father's at work. Okay? That's the Father's work. Okay, 1 Corinthians 4, 9. For I think that God has set forth us, the apostles, last, as it were appointed to death. For we are made a spectacle unto the world, and to angels, and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but you are wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are honorable, but we are despised. Even unto this present hour, we both hunger and thirst, and are naked, and are buffeted, have no certain dwelling place, and labor, working with our own hands, being reviled, we bless, being persecuted, we suffer it, being defamed, we entreat. We are made as the filth of the world, and are the offscourging of all things unto this day. I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons I warn you. For though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, you have not many fathers. See, those are the apostles, not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. For this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son, and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. Now some are puffed up as though I would not come to you, but I would come to you shortly, if the Lord will, and will know not the speech of them which are puffed up, but the power. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. Well, will ye? Shall I come to you with a rod, or in love and in the spirit of meekness? Now you see in chapter 5, I think I have it down here, what Paul's dealing with. He comes with a rod, like a father. Okay? It is reported among you that there is fornication among you, and as such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. You're puffed up and have not rather mourned that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. Why didn't the pastor handle it? For verily, as absent in the body but present in spirit, have judged already. Probably the pastor said, let's get a hold of Paul. Write him a letter. See what we're supposed to do about this. That's exactly what they did. For verily I, as absent in body, but present in spirit, have judged already, as though I were present concerning him that hath done so done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you were gathered together in my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord. Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? See, they were just embracing it, like churches today. Well, we don't want to offend anybody. A little leaven leaveth the whole lump. Before you know it, everybody in the church be doing it. Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened, for even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Like I said, the church I worked at, that happened. People in the church started, well, this was going on between one of the ministers. He had counseled a woman without his wife present, without somebody else present, and he ended up having an affair with the person he's counseling with. And before you know it, people in the church are going to the pastor saying, I'm counting all these thoughts of adultery. Well, I've never had before. It was spreading like gangrene all through the church. The devil. Yep. That's the way it is. A father is one that has grown up spiritually. Fathers, they're grown up spiritually. 1 John 2, 13. I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, the young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. All right, fathers here in the Strongs is a literal parent figure, older and more mature in the Lord, and a more experienced believer. Okay. All right, now we just got a couple more scriptures here. 1 Corinthians 3. Verse 10. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But I let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built upon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Just think about this. It goes on to talk about God's temple here. But think about that. These churches that have no foundation, when they stand before the Lord, what's the Lord going to say? He's going to put the fire to it. See what stands. And if there's no foundation, it'll all burn up. Think to go your whole life and believe that you're working for the Lord and you're doing what God wants you to do, and you hadn't even taken care of that. What a terrible thing. That's why we need to be speaking. Lord, your church is in divine order. Yeah. All right, Jesus spoke this to the church of Ephesus. This is Revelation 2:2. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. All right, Titus 1:5. It says, for this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest rest, or thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee. Apostles are to set things in order that are out of order. Appoint elders. Elders function as pastors. Titus oversaw the pastors in the churches of Crete. Apostles and prophets by God have an exalted position. They have much more responsibility than the average believer. They also have a higher visibility as the foundation of the church. Parents hear what the Spirit is saying to their families. CFOs hear what the Spirit is saying to their businesses. Teachers hear what the Spirit is saying to their classes. Pastors hear what the Spirit is saying to the church, singular. Apostles and prophets hear what the Spirit is saying to the church, plural. Okay, one more scripture. This is Ephesians 3, 1 through 5. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me to youward, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote before in few words, whereby, when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Okay. It's going to be all.